goes to court.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with a global perspective on business and economics. And unless there is an 11th-hour settlement, the British oil company BP will be in court today in New Orleans, fighting tens of billions of dollars in civil claims related to the 2010 Gulf oil spill. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Just like the oil spill cleanup, the civil case against BP is expected to be long and complicated.
Very complicated.
Edward Sherman is a law professor at Tulane University Law School. Assuming neither side blinks and they don't settle,
the first phase alone will probably take 3 months.
And that's just to figure out which companies get how much blame. It could be a year or years before we all know how much BP is going to have to pay up, and before all the plaintiffs, the feds, the states, private businesses, and individuals get their money. So why fight it out? Stephen Simcoe is an analyst at Morningstar.
From a financial standpoint, that actually might benefit BP if they just fight this to the bitter end and try to reduce the settlement. But at the same time, that would obviously keep them in the news and keep this oil spill in the news for quite a long time to come.
BP's calculation isn't the only one. You've got a whole lot of other people fighting over a whole lot of money. It's messy, just like the oil spill. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Today, India is launching several satellites into space. It is just the latest mission for India's space agency, which has its eyes on Mars at the moment. The BBC's Shilpa Kannan joins us from Delhi with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how much is India putting into its space program, and what can you tell us about today's mission?
Well, the government has put in about $1.2 billion for India's space program. This is just for 1 year I'm talking about. But today's mission is interesting because it will mark India's 101st successful mission, because they've had 100 missions before this. It's interesting because they have a satellite for oceanography in collaboration with France. They have six other satellites, including two each from Canada, Austria, Denmark, and Britain.
Now, we all know that India is a very poor country. So are the people behind this idea of the government spending so much money on space?
Yes, there has been this ongoing criticism, mainly in the foreign media, about should India be spending on a space program when there are such high levels of malnutrition in the country, power shortages, also economy. India's experiencing its worst slowdown in growth in 10 years. But it has long been argued in the country that the space program really has very practical applications and actually benefits a lot of people. And India's space program doesn't cost much if you compare it with other countries. And from 2007, they have begun to work as a commercial space program where they launch other countries' satellites through India. So they are making money off it as well.
So will you be watching the satellite launch today?
I think so, because there's a lot of excitement in the local media and channels here about, you know, how there will be a countdown and people will be watching. It's quite patriotic as well in India. The space program is very, people are very proud of the space program. So I think there will be a lot of excitement, and I will be one of those people watching the television sets.
Enjoy it. The BBC's Shilpa Kannan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, 2.5% higher right now in Frankfurt, and same thing in Tokyo, following reports that Japan's government will nominate an advocate of aggressive monetary easing to head the country's central bank. Meanwhile, here in this country, the chairman of bookseller Barnes & Noble said today that he wants to buy the company's retail business. That includes the stores and website, but not the Nook e-reader. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow surged 119 points to close at 14,000 exactly.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
We are just 4 days away from the sequester, which means if there's no deal between the White House and Congress, $85 billion will be cut from the federal budget. Now, the sequester is an idea that most politicians agree is a bad one, and the word sequester, well, no one likes that. Tracy Samuelson has the story on where it came from.
It's not just for budget cuts. You can sequester juries during trials, carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Catholic cardinals are sequestered to choose a new pope.
Right, it's all about being kept separate.
Mignon Fogarty is better known by her online handle, Grammar Girl.
Sequester, it comes from a Latin word that means to remove or separate or keep in a safe place.
Julian Zelizer is a professor of public affairs at Princeton University. He says the use of sequester to talk about budget politics dates back to 1985. Ronald Reagan was president. The economy was doing pretty well.
But both parties were worried that domestic spending continued to grow, but taxes had been cut quite significantly.
So they passed a law commonly known as Graham-Rudman. It sets targets for deficit reduction and said that if Congress and the president couldn't agree on how to meet those goals, the money would be automatically taken away. Boom, the sequester was born. And just like now, politics might have used the word sequester to talk about budget cuts without having to say budget cuts.
Yeah, it's inside the Beltway rhetoric that's being used intentionally to keep some of this inside the Beltway.
Senator Phil Graham from Texas, now retired, thinks the name is crystal clear.
To me, sequester conjured up taking something off the table, withholding something.
He's the Graham in Graham-Rudman and the one who put the term sequestration into the bill.
It's always helpful if when you invent a term, if it already conjures up what you're trying to say.
Impoundment was an option too, but it had already been used for something else. Now, Graham stands behind the name and the idea behind it. Sequestration was supposed to be a last resort, he says, a final backstop on overspending.
If a sequester is what you got to do to get people's attention, then I would do it.
So while Graham says he's more proud of raising two sons, he doesn't mind being known as the father of sequestration as well. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, to some workplace stress in the UK, a guy named Darren Baldwin was fired after allegedly punching and threatening his boss. The weird part is he works at a factory that makes stress balls. The local newspaper headline on the story, stress ball fails to curb temper. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.